What we are going to be looking at tonight is the topic of what is truth, finding reality in a relativistic world. I'm going to explain what that actually means here in a moment. But to start a series like we are going to be looking at, reasons to believe the things that we believe, we have to start with truth. Because today, I think truth things are being attacked left and right. Things that are true are oftentimes being rejected or refuted. And things that are not true are actually being promoted as if they were true. And so when it comes to our Christian faith, we need to know what the truth actually is. And so we're going to tackle the topic of truth. But I've had you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, because there's a verse there I want to share with you just to get us started here. It is verse 15. And it reads this way, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Now, we as Christians need to have the ability to defend our faith and to give answers if people ask us questions about the things that we believe. And we do not always feel totally equipped to do that. That, in part, is one of the reasons why I want to do this series, is to equip you as followers of Christ with the information that you need so that you can have an answer for those that ask you questions or question why it is that you believe the things that you believe. But secondarily, I want to do this series because I know that many of us that are Christians still have doubts. There are times that we begin to question the very things that we have believed. There may be times that you have wondered, is there really a God that exists? There are a lot of people that don't believe that there is a God. Why do I believe that there is a God? Maybe because I was born into a Christian family and my parents taught me that, and I've been going to church since I was an infant. And so because I've always been told that there is a God, that's the reason that I believed in God. Or is it because I actually believe that a God exists? Or maybe you have questioned the Bible. Is the Bible really the Word of God? Or there might be other elements of your faith that you have wondered, am I really believing things that are actually true? So one, I want to encourage your faith. I want you guys to feel like you have a firm foundation to stand upon when you say, I'm a follower of Christ and I'm a Christian. Secondly, I want you to be able to share that with other people. So we are going to be looking at our reasons to believe the things that we believe. Now, we call it Christian apologetics. And that does not mean that we as Christians are somehow to apologize to the world for the things that we believe. The word apologetics actually comes from a Greek term, apologia, which simply means this, a reasoned statement or argument. So when we are called to give a defense for our faith, it means simply we have reasonable answers to the questions that people might ask us. Why do we believe the things that we believe? And that might lead into an argument. And by argument, I don't mean a battle that is angry and defiant. I just mean when you disagree with somebody, that is an argument. And it can be very cordial in the way that you speak to another person or the other person speaks to you, but you're on differing views. And we need to be people that are able to have a Christian apologetic, meaning that we are able to give a reasoned statement or defense for the things that we believe. So I want to ask you this. Do you know what it is that you believe? Now, most of you that have gone to church for a good amount of time, you probably have a decent handle on the things that you do believe. But the second question is this, do you know why you believe those things? That we have less answers to typically. We know what we believe because these are the things that we have been taught, but we don't necessarily know why it is that we believe these things. And that's why a lot of us have doubts that creep in. But the third question goes even deeper. Could you actually explain it to somebody else? Many of us who know what it is that we believe know less of why we believe it, and even less do we feel capable of actually explaining that to somebody else. So through this series, I'm hoping that you will become more equipped to do so. But we're going to begin with trying to tackle the topic of truth. How do you know if something is true? I don't know how you would answer that, but I'm hoping that by the end of tonight, you're going to have a good answer for that. And the reason why this is so important is because Christianity makes truth claims. What I mean by that is Christianity makes claims that they, statements or claims that they say are true. For example, Christianity claims that God exists. Christianity also claims that God created the universe and everything that is in the universe. Christianity claims that the Bible is the Word of God. Christianity claims that the Bible is an accurate and true book. And Christianity claims that God will one day judge all of humanity based upon God's righteousness. And finally, I'll add this, that Christianity claims that Jesus is the only way to be forgiven and to be accepted by God. Now, that's just a brief list of statements that Christianity holds to, truths that Christianity claims for itself. This is what Christianity believes, but not everybody in the world believes these things. There are many people that actually reject the claims of Christianity. Some people claim that Christianity is just simply not true at all. They would say that there is no God, that the universe came into being naturally, not by any supernatural act of a divine being, but it just happened, and that the Bible is just a book of myths. Lots of stories in there, but these stories aren't really true. And that all religions are wrong. This basically is the atheistic position. They basically would say that all religions are wrong because God does not exist. No matter how you define him or no matter what God you happen to believe in. And then there are other people that come from a different viewpoint. They also reject the claims of Christianity. But they would say something like this. Christianity is just one truth among many, many truths that people tend to hold to. They would say that if there is a God, Christianity is just one of many ways to worship that God. You can worship that God through some other form of religion. They would say that the Bible is just one of many books that tell us about God. You could read the Bible, and you could read many other books that will tell you about who God is. And you cannot say that your book is better than any of the other books that are available. They would say that Jesus is just one of many religious leaders that have come down throughout the ages that are worthy to be followed or listened to. And they would be of the opinion that pretty much all religions are true. Doesn't really matter which book you read, which God you believe in, that basically, you know, it is your truth and you should be able to follow your truth. That being said, how can we know what the real truth actually is? Is Christianity true? Or are all religions equally true? Or are all religions equally false? And how do we know, really, if anything is true or if anything is false? Guys, this is really where our problem starts, because the popular view today is this, is that there's not one truth for everybody. What works for one person does not necessarily work for another person. And so one person's truth can be different than another person's truth. And so whatever it is that you feel, whatever it is that you think, that is your truth. And your truth could change, because maybe you feel one way today, but a year from now, you're going to feel very different or think very differently. And so your truth has changed to something else. Essentially, all of these statements that I'm making to you are what today is described as relative truth. And that is the mantra of many people today, is that truth is relative. So you can have your truth, and I can have my truth, and we can both be right in what it is that we hold to, even if what you believe is the opposite of what I believe. That is what relative truth claims. Relative truth would say things like this: that may be true back then, but it's not true anymore. So there were some things that were true back in ancient times that are not true in our society today. They would say things like this: what may be true for you is not true for me. And so if you want to be a Christian and you want to believe those things, that's your truth, but that's not my truth. So you talking to me about God or about the Bible or about Jesus doesn't apply to me, because that's not my truth. That's your truth. Or they'll say things like this: that might be true where you come from, but that's not true where I come from. I was raised a different way, believing different things. And making statements like this really is coming from the perspective that truth is a relative thing. It can be different for different people, but they can all be true in the things that they believe. Relativism also claims things like this: all beliefs can be equally true. All religions can be equally valid. And all lifestyles can be equally acceptable. Let me give you a quote from author and speaker Dina Blass. She wrote this. She said, "Everyone's truth is their own truth. Everyone's belief is their own belief. None are wrong. None are right. They just are. To deny someone their truth is to deny yourself yours." So what does all this mean? What is it that I'm actually getting at? If truth really is relative, then you can choose to believe or to not believe in God. You can choose to believe or not believe in the Bible. You can choose to follow or reject Jesus Christ, because whatever feels good to you, whatever seems right to you, that is your truth, and you are not wrong. So essentially, you cannot tell anybody they are wrong in their view because they see things differently than you do, or they have their own truth. Now, there are three glaring problems with relativism that I want to explain to you. And this is important because probably many of you that in your high school years and those of you that are going to college now, you've had to face in some of your courses is a professor or a teacher that has claimed that all truth is relative to the situation or to the person or to the place or what have you. But there are problems with believing that truth is relative. And there are three main ones that I want to share with you guys right now so you understand why believing in that all truth is relative is a problem. First of all, it is this. It is that relative truth is a self-defeating belief. What do I mean by that? It means that the statements that relativism makes actually defeat itself. Let me share with you guys some examples of what a self-defeating statement is. If I were to say, I cannot speak a word of English, you might cock your head a little bit and think, well, didn't you just say that in English? That doesn't make any sense. That's a self-defeating statement. If I were to say, my sister is an only child, again, you're going to take a step back and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Because if she is your sister, then you are not, or she is not, an only child. Or if I make the statement, I do not exist. If you do not exist, then how did you actually make that statement? Each of these statements are what we would call self-defeating statements. It is a statement that destroys itself because the statement makes no sense whatsoever. And so it is, first of all, with relativism. Those that believe in relative truth will often make statements that are self-defeating. For example, relativism uses absolute statements to say that truth is not absolute. Let me say that again. Relativism will use absolute statements to say that truth is not absolute. Let me give you some examples of that. Here's a statement that relativism would make. There are no absolutes or no absolute truths. You can respond to that. Is that absolutely true? You see, to make the statement there are no absolute truths is an absolute statement about truth. And so it is self-condemning. It is self-contradictory to make an absolute statement saying that truth is relative. Another statement you might hear them make, you can't know the truth. You could respond, well, how do you know that that's true? Because if you can't know the truth, you can't make a statement that you are claiming is a true statement. Third, they will often believe and suppose that opposites can both be true. And you can ask them this, is the opposite of that true? If you say that opposites can both be true, is the opposite of that statement also a true statement? All of these are what we would call self-defeating statements. They are making statements saying that there are no absolutes, and yet they are making absolute statements in doing so. A second problem that relativism has is this. It leads to a world of contradictions. Let me give you an example. Some people could say that there is one God that created everything. That is actually the Christian view. There is one God that created everything. Then there are other people that can say that there are many gods. Hinduism is one of the religions that doesn't believe in one God. They believe in millions of gods. And then there are others that say that there is no God. Now, relativism would say that each of the people making these statements are making true statements to themselves, that is their truth. So it is true that there is one God. It is true that there are many gods, and it is true that there is no God at all. But guys, those are contradictory statements. And they cannot all be true. Another example. It leads to a world of contradictions because opposite views then are both true. So you have one person who says that the universe exists by a supernatural act of God. That's the Christian view. But then there are other people that say the universe exists by natural means. It all happened by chance, through natural means. There is no God that was a part of it. Well, you know what? Both of those can't be true. Either there is a God who created it, or nothing created it. It created itself, or it created on its own in a natural means. But you cannot have both of those statements being true. It also is a situation where opposite conditions will exist. There will be those that say that there are one God. There will be those that say that there are many gods. There will be those that say that there is no God at all, which honestly is just simply a logical impossibility. It's not logically possible by any stretch of the imagination that all three of these statements can be true. And so because it produces contradictions, we can dismiss it. Let me give you the third reason, and that is this. No one is ever wrong about anything in relativism. What do I mean by that? Because what is right for me may not be right for you, and because opposite claims can both be true. Now, that type of thinking is just flat out absurd. So this is what I want you to do if you are ever in a class where a teacher is espousing relative truth, claiming that all truth is relative. Simply ask them this: why is it then that you grade my test? That teacher is going to give you exams in which they are going to say some of your answers were right and some of them were wrong. Well, according to relative truth, it just means that your professor's truth is different than your truth. And your professor cannot say that your answers are wrong. They just happen to be different than his or her answers. So there are no A's or F's in relativism, because it all applies to you and what it is that you think and what's important to you, or what your opinion is, or what your feelings happen to be. So, truth is not simply just what you believe, because believing a lie will never make that lie the truth. For example, if believing that gravity does not apply to you, you apply that to your life, what is going to happen? You're going to jump off a cliff thinking that you're going to fly through the air, and you're suddenly going to realize that just simply because you believe that gravity didn't apply to you does not mean it didn't apply to you. It's going to apply to you hard as you plummet to the ground. Believing that your goldfish prefers to live in a tree, it's not going to be good for your goldfish. You can believe that your goldfish prefers to die in a tree, but you cannot believe that your goldfish prefers to live in a tree and have your goldfish live in a tree. Because believing a lie will not make it true. But that is what our society is believing right now. It's that you can basically choose your own truth, even if it conflicts with reality. So truth is not simply believing whatever it is that you want to believe, because even believing anything does not make it true. And I want you guys to hear this real quickly here. Believing that there is no God will not make God go away. So all of those people that do not believe that there is a God cannot make God go away simply by not believing in him. But understand this too. Believing that there is a God is not going to make God exist. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Just because we believe that there is a God does not make God exist. There has to be more to it than that. And so we as Christians believe that there is a God. And we believe that he is the God of the Bible. And we believe that he sent his only begotten Son to the earth to become the Savior of the world through his death upon the cross. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is what we believe. Those things are not true because we believe them. We believe them because they are true. Now, that's what this series is all about. Reasons to believe. Where we are going to delve into the reasons why we believe that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth. That he wrote a book, revealed himself through this book, and that book is called the Bible. That he has a son that he sent to this earth to die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins if we would choose to surrender our lives to him and follow after him. But it's not true because we believe it. It is only true if, in fact, the evidence bears it out. That's what we're getting to tonight, and this is where the important part comes in. So what is the truth? How do we know if something is true? Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And if you're taking notes, you need to write that part down. How do we know what's true? Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Let me explain it a little bit. A statement is going to be true if it matches up with the real world, what we see in the real world. And a statement is false if it does not match up with reality or with what we see in the real world. I'm going to give you guys some examples so you understand what I'm trying to get across here. Here is a statement. Squares have three sides. Now, it is true that squares have three sides. They actually have four sides, but they at least have three sides. But the picture that is there on the left-hand side of the screen does not qualify as a square because it only has three sides. What we know about squares is this. A square must have four sides, and those sides must be of equal length. Now, I know somebody is looking at my square that is up there on the screen right now and saying, that's not a square, that's a rectangle. It was a square when I actually put this PowerPoint presentation together, and then the program itself tweaked my image and made it into a rectangle. So neither of these images that are on the screen are actually a square as we understand a square, because a square has a definitive definition that qualifies it to be a square. It has to have exactly four sides. It cannot have three. It cannot have five. It has to have four. And each of those four sides has to be the same length. That is what a square is. So if you see the statement, squares have three sides, I should have put in there, squares have only three sides, and then we would be able to say that is a false statement. It's not true based upon what we know about a square. Let me give you another one. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain on earth. Now, most of us know the answer to that. That is a true statement. But even if you didn't know that Mount Everest was the tallest mountain, you could do research to find out whether that statement is true or not. You can Google it. What is the tallest mountain in the world? Or you can find out what the heights of all of the other tall mountains are in the world and compare that to the elevation that Mount Everest rises to, and you can come to the conclusion that this is, in fact, a true statement. Dogapillars are real. Now, if they were real, I would want one, I want you to know. That would be the coolest pet to walk through your neighborhood. But the truth is that here is a statement, dogapillars are real. And maybe you have never seen a dogapillar. Maybe you've never talked to somebody that has seen a dogapillar. But the only way that we would know that a dogapillar is real is if we saw one or had eyewitness testimony that was trustworthy that claimed that they are real. Otherwise, we may have to conclude that we're not really sure. We can say, I've never seen one before. I've never heard of one before. I've never seen a picture of one until now. But even in this picture, it wouldn't be too difficult to examine it closely and find out that it actually was an edited photo that was manipulated to create the illusion that a dogapillar is a real thing when a dogapillar is not necessarily a real thing. The point is this, is that when we read a statement, we hear a statement, we make a statement, that statement is only true if it matches reality. And if we cannot find the reality that matches your statement, we do not know that it's true. And if we find a reality that is conflicting with your statement, we know that your statement is absolutely false. So, truth is that which corresponds to reality. A statement is true if it matches up with reality, and a statement is false if it does not match up with reality. And this is what is called the correspondence view of truth. Now, I know you guys are feeling like you're sitting in a classroom right now, that you're back in college or high school or whatever, but this is important stuff. It's important for us to understand this concept because everything that we are going to talk about in this series, all of the topics that we are going to cover, when it comes to does God exist, when it comes to can we trust the Bible and believe that it actually is the Word of God, when we talk about Jesus, how do we really know that he was the Son of God and not just a guy that thought he was the Son of God or made a boastful claim that he was the Son of God? How do we really know? It's all going to come back to the correspondence view of truth. We hear the statement, things like Jesus making the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to take that statement and say, okay, does that statement correspond to what we know of reality? And if it does not match, we can throw it out. But if it does match, we need to truly consider that Jesus is making a claim that is absolutely true. We're going to get ahead of ourselves if we go much further into that, but right now for tonight, what I want to talk to you guys about is this correspondence view of truth. And let me explain it a little bit further so you understand the concept. Here's what the correspondence view of truth states, that truth is determined by what matches the facts. If a claim matches the facts, then we declare it to be true. If a claim does not match the facts, then we declare it to be false. And here's an important thing. If a claim contradicts what we know is true, we know that that claim is a false claim. In other words, you don't have to have infinite knowledge of all things in order to know that something is false. If you know that something is true, and then you hear something that contradicts what you know is true, you know that whatever that is a false statement. Let me give you an example. Getting back to our shapes here. Everything you ever needed to know, you learned in kindergarten. Remember that. Here is a truth claim. This is a square. Now, we know certain things about squares, right? How many sides does a square have? Does it always have four sides? Can it have three? Can it have five? Are those sides of equal length or are they differing lengths? They're of equal length. So a square, we know, by definition, has four sides that are of equal length. Now, the first image there has three sides. So we automatically know that that is not a square. The second image doesn't really look like it has any sides at all. It's circular. We can't identify a side. So we know that that also is not a square. The third image we see kind of looks like a stop sign. Technically, it is what we know as a hexagon. But we know that that disqualifies itself from being a square. Why? Because there's more than four sides. Even though each of the sides are of equal length, it doesn't match all of the criteria for a square. So that is not a square. And then the fourth image, it does have four sides, but those four sides do not have equal lengths. So it also doesn't match all of the criteria. So when we read the statement and apply it to each one of these images, this is a square. Because we know what a square is, we know that these are false statements. Now, we might not know that this is a triangle, but we know it's not a square. We might not know it's a circle, but we know it's not a square. We might not know it's a trapezoid, but we know it's not a square because it doesn't meet the criteria. You following me? Okay. That is important when it comes to what we're going to cover, because when we make statements about Christianity, and Christianity claims that there is one God, not zero gods, not multiple gods, but one God, and that that God created the heavens and the earth, and that we are able to, by learning about facts of the universe, that God exists, we know that any other view that disputes that version of God is a false version, even if we don't know all about it. So you don't need to know all about Hinduism and their millions of gods in order to say that Hinduism is false. If you know that it is absolutely true that there is only one God. Does that make sense? You don't need to know that all of these other religious books are false. And the reasons why they're false, if you know that the Bible is true and believable, if those other books contradict what the Bible has to say. Our judicial system, by the way, is built upon the correspondence view of truth. So I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that this isn't just, you know, my opinion about how to determine what is true or not. Our entire court system is built upon the correspondence view of truth. What do I mean by that? They determine what is true in the court of law by certain criteria. One is by personal testimony. So an eyewitness to a crime that can testify, I was there, I saw it happen, and I saw who did it. That is an eyewitness testimony. Or the victim's account. I was there. It happened to me. This is what happened. And that's the person who did it. Eyewitness testimony. Okay? Also the evidence. Okay? Crime scene details. Investigators will go to the place that the crime happened, and they will investigate. They will find evidence. They will find things like fingerprints. They will look for things like surveillance video. Were there any cameras that showed what happened at the time that this crime took place? They will gather DNA evidence to determine, you know, who was it that was actually there at the time that this crime happened. And so they will take the personal testimony, this person said this happened, and then they will get the physical evidence that was there at the crime scene, and see, does what that person said happened match what we found at the scene? And if it matches what they said and what we found, then there's a high likelihood that it actually happened just the way that they said it? Does the evidence match the personal testimony? Do you guys know that the Bible also appeals to the correspondence view of truth? When it tries to establish what is true, it uses the correspondence view of truth. Let me give you just a few examples of some verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves." In other words, what it is telling you is to look at your own life, and does your life match the claim that you are a person of faith? Because if you say that you are a person of faith, but your life doesn't match that claim, then you don't pass the test. Another verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, that is fellowship with God, and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if we say one thing, we're making a truth claim, but that our life doesn't back up that truth claim, then we are actually lying, we're not telling the truth. Correspondence view of truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. That is the correspondence view of truth. We put things that are said to the test to determine, does it match reality or does it not match reality? I'll give you one more, and it concerns the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts chapter 25, he was being accused by his enemies of certain crimes. And this is what was said there in Acts 25, verse 7. The Jews laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. So it's one thing to claim something. It's another thing to prove that it's true. And they were not able to prove that it was true. Why? Because their claim did not match reality. You following me? Is this all making sense to you guys? So when it comes to truth, truth is determined by the correspondence view of truth. A statement that is claimed to be true has to match reality. Most people, though, will accept the correspondence view of truth for many things, but not for all things. There are many people today that will accept the correspondence view of truth except when it comes to two particular topics. One is religion, and the other is morality. Now, our series, Reasons to Believe, is really not going to tackle the topic of morality. For those of you guys that have been a part of our ministry for a while, you know that last year or the year before that, I did a series called Hot Potatoes, where we were looking at topics of things that were going on in society right now that really had to do, for the most part, with moral issues. Things that are taking place in our society where people are saying, this is right, this is good, this is evil, this is wrong, and it's oftentimes very different than what the Bible is saying is right and what is wrong, okay? We're not really going to be looking at moral issues in this series. What we are going to be looking at, though, is religious issues pertaining to Christianity. Today, though, many people will believe in the correspondence view of truth when it comes to the courtroom, determining whether the guy did it or whether he didn't do it. But when it comes to religion, they throw the correspondence view of truth out the window. Why? Because they think that religious beliefs and moral decisions are personal truths that don't apply to everybody. Guys, listen to this. Never confuse personal feelings and opinions with what is true. And this is where a lot of the confusion is happening in our day and age. Many people are claiming things to be true because that is how they feel about it. They're claiming things to be true because that is their opinion about it. But it doesn't necessarily match the reality, what is actually happening or is actually true. Relativism often confuses personal opinions with truth. And that is why a person can say, well, that is your truth, but your truth is different than my truth. You believe that there is a God. That is fine. And that is your truth. I don't believe that there is a God because that is what's true for me. But what they are actually saying is that is your opinion and I have my own opinion. But when you're talking about opinions, you're not talking about anything that is based upon reality or necessarily fact. Oftentimes, it is just simply how a person feels about something, but that's not how you determine what is actually true. Relativism often confuses personal opinions with truth. So right now, we're going to look at some examples so you understand what it is that I am trying to illustrate here. Let me throw up this question. What is the best flavor of ice cream? Somebody tell me, what's the best flavor of ice cream? Cookies and cream? Chocolate? Rocky Road? Vanilla? Fudge brownie? Mint chip? Okay, I want you guys to know that those are all wrong. The actual answer is chocolate chip cookie dough. So if you answered chocolate chip cookie dough, you gave the truth. And if you answered anything else, that was a lie. Now, would you accept that as a right answer from me? That I believe the truth and you guys believe the lie? No, you would not. Why? Because there are certain truths that we put into a category that we call subjective truth. Subjective truth is this. They are personal, they are private, and they can change. So maybe your favorite ice cream, or you think the best ice cream is mint chip, but then one day you choose to try chocolate chip cookie dough and all of a sudden a new revelation has come up in your life and you realize that the best ice cream is chocolate chip cookie dough, okay? Because it's subjective. What do I mean by subjective? The subject, that is the person making the claim, states that it is true for him or for herself. It is the person who is the subject of the statement, okay? That is why we call it a subjective truth. What is the best flavor of ice cream? The answer to this question does not say anything about the object. It's not saying anything about ice cream itself, but it's saying something about the subject, the person who is answering the question. So it's an internal thing. It is not an external thing. It is subjective truth because it is the subject who's giving the answer. So subjective truth is actually just an opinion. It's really not any truth other than for yourself. So it's your opinion. So when people say that truth is relative, what they are talking about typically is people have different opinions. Do people have different opinions? Absolutely they do. But in their opinions, they can either be right or they can be wrong in many of the things that they say are their own truth. Now let me give you another statement. Ice freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Is that a true statement, or is that a false statement? Is it a false statement? Okay. I thought you learned everything you needed to know in kindergarten. Maybe some of you guys never got out of kindergarten. I don't know. I guess I should have said water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Would you have accepted that? Okay. All right. My bad. My bad. Water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay? We know that that is a true statement. Okay? Objective truths are facts of the external world that we discover. Is the temperature that water freezes a matter of personal opinion? If I decide for myself that I feel like water should freeze at 18 degrees, not 32 degrees, is that my truth? No, it's not my truth. If it is my truth, then my truth is wrong. Because there is a right answer to objective truth that applies to everybody. Does that truth, water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, apply to us here in Menifee, California? Does it apply to those that happen to be living in Finland? Does it apply to those that are living on the Hawaiian Islands? It's not different depending upon where you are. Did it freeze at 32 degrees Fahrenheit 1,000 years ago? Will it still freeze at 32 degrees Fahrenheit 100 years from now? Because it is an objective truth that applies to everybody at all times. Your opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't change it. How you feel about it, it may hurt your feelings that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. But the fact doesn't care about your feelings. Objective truths are true for everyone, and they do not change. So, I'm going to give you a series of claims, and I want you to tell me whether it is falling into the category of subjective truth, it's a personal thing, an opinion, or whether it is an objective truth that applies to everybody. It's a truth whether you know it or not or believe it or not, okay? So the first one is this. Rock is better than rap. Is that subjective or is that objective? It is subjective because it's a matter of opinion. Is there any absolute true answer to this question? No, because it's all something that is determined for yourself. So if you want to believe that there is relative truth, this is what would fall into the category of relative truth. It depends upon the person. But in reality, it's just an opinion. Okay? Another statement. The sun is bigger than the earth. Is that subjective or objective? It is objective. Because it doesn't matter what you think. The sun is still going to be bigger than the earth, no matter where you are. No matter what time in history, human history, that you lived, it is an objective truth. William McKinley was the 15th president of the United States. Subjective or objective? Objective. Now, do you need to know if this is a right answer or not to know that it is an objective statement? No, you don't need to know whether it's right answer or not, okay? You don't have to have the right answer to know that this is an objective statement. I want you to know that this is a wrong answer. He was not the 15th president of the United States. He was the 25th president of the United States. But just because you didn't know the answer does not mean you don't realize that it is an objective statement. We can hear this statement, and then we can put it to the test. We do a little bit of research, and we find out that's a false statement. It's not true because history tells us that it is not true. You know what that lets us know? That historical claims are objective truth claims. You don't get to have an opinion about history. Well, let me say that you can have your opinion about history, but your opinion can be wrong about history because historical facts fall into objective truth category. Why is that important to what we're talking about? Because the Bible claims historical events as being actual events that took place in the past. So when we consider the Bible, when we get to the stage in our series where we're considering the Bible, we need to understand we are not talking about someone's opinion. Well, you believe that, and I don't believe that, and so you can believe that the Bible is true, and I believe that the Bible is false, and it's our own truth. No, if the Bible is historical, and it's accurate in its telling of history, your opinion doesn't change that fact. It is the truth. Okay? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter said this, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter is basically saying, we saw him. We were with him. We weren't following stories. We were the ones that were there watching it happen before our eyes, and now we are telling you about it. So basically, he was an eyewitness. Now, we can take his eyewitness account and then compare it to other people's eyewitness accounts and compare it to historical documents to determine, did it actually happen? Is it true or is it not true? Another statement, Taco Bell is the best Mexican food restaurant. Okay. It is a subjective statement, and I would agree that it is a false statement, but it is something that is personal to somebody. If our good friend Evan was here, he would staunchly say that it is the best Mexican food anywhere. But Biden is not my president. Now listen to me. You may not like Joe Biden, but if you are an American and you are living in the year 2021, Joe Biden is your president. You might like that. You might not like that. You might have strong opinions about that. But your opinions don't change the fact that if you are an American in 2021, Joe Biden is your president. I'm laying this out for you guys so that you fully understand why it is that we determine some things are true and some things are not true. And some things are just not up for your opinion. Your opinion cannot change truth if it's an objective truth. The earth is the center of the universe. Is that objective or subjective? It is objective. We know today that the earth is not the center of the universe. Now, a few hundred years ago, that was by far the common belief throughout all of humanity, is that the earth was the center of the universe. Now, did the reality change because most of the people believed it? No. Most of the people were wrong. There was a time when the majority of the people believed that the earth was flat. There are still some people that believe the earth is flat. Does their belief that the earth is flat change the reality? No. They cannot claim, well, this is my truth. You can have a different truth. No, you are wrong. Because we know today that the earth is a sphere. We know today that the earth is not the center of the universe. And it does not matter if you believe something different, if you believe something different, it's not your own truth. It is your own delusion, or it is your own lie. This also lets us know that scientific claims are objective truth claims. So when we learn something that is determined scientifically, we know that that is an objective truth. Now, some of you guys are maybe getting a little rattled here because there are a lot of things that science is claiming as truth that we as Christians do not believe in. Scientists, even atheists and secular scientists, deal with the same facts that we as Christians deal with. But oftentimes, there is a different interpretation of those same facts. For example, many scientists have already determined for themselves that there is no God that exists and that everything that we see in the universe, the natural universe, is all that there is and all that can be known. There's nothing supernatural. And so when they look at the universe, they interpret what they see based upon the preconceived notion that there is no divine being. And so no wonder they come to their conclusions that they come to because they have a preconceived notion. Now, we too as Christians, sometimes we come to life with our own preconceived notions, and we apply those preconceived notions to the facts. We have to somehow try and strip away all of the preconceived notions and just simply look at the facts. Okay? The Bible oftentimes does appeal to things that have been determined scientifically. For example, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is a statement, a truth statement that needs to be tested. Can we look at the universe and the things that we can learn about the universe and determine whether it was created or happened naturally or whether it was created by a divine act of a supernatural being? We'll be talking about that in this series. Another verse, Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. We have not seen God. It tells us that he is invisible. But it says that we can determine the attributes of the God that we have never seen based upon the things that we have seen. What have we seen? The things which are made. When we look at the universe, the Bible is telling us, you can learn things about who created the universe based upon the things that you see before your eyes. So we'll be looking at that as well. Now, I'm going to wrap this thing up here. We've been talking about truth, but I want you to know that just because there are things that are true and that there are things that are false, and we can learn what is true and what is false when we examine reality, we examine the facts, not all actually want to know the truth. Romans 1:18 says, many people suppress the truth to live as they please. They don't want to know the truth because they are afraid that the truth is going to infringe upon how they want to live their lives. So some people will willingly suppress the truth. Romans 2:8 says this, is that many will not obey the truth because they want to go their own way. They want to live as they please, and so even when the truth is revealed to them, they will choose to reject that truth so that they can continue to live their own way. Romans 1:25, many are willing to exchange the truth to follow a lie. As hard as it is to believe that sometimes, there are some people, many people, that are willingly following a lie because they don't like what the truth reveals. In spite of that, what we're going to do in this series is try to come to grips with what is true and what is not true. And you know, God wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, and we'll finish with this. God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, why is this important? Because if we are going to give answers for our Christian faith, we need to know that. truth can be known, truth corresponds with reality. Conflicting beliefs are possible, but conflicting truths are not possible. And everyone has the right to their opinion, but they do not have the right to their own truth. Not all religions can be true because different religions have conflicting beliefs. And if Christianity is true, then other belief systems are false. And if Christianity proves itself, and I believe that it will, it does so because the claims of Christianity correspond to reality. That's it for tonight, and I know I spoke a lot, and I know I went a little bit long, so forgive me for that. But I hope that this has helped you understand how we come to grips with what things are true and what things are not. Let's pray.